Anyway, indeed, in respect to everything of spiritual importance, he has a more comprehensive knowledge than Tua. And he has acquired this knowledge in a period of time that corresponds to a tiny fragment of Tua's age. Billy, but that is only based on the fact that the bearer of the Nocademian spirit form had and has the possibility to make use of all of Nocademian's storage banks and Enoch's storage banks, because he, as the only one, has the frequency-based means to penetrate into these storage banks. 229th Contact, Monday, July 31, 1989, 7:16 a.m., Billy, thus, we have also discussed that. Then I can now ask my questions, right? Quetzal, 1. Certainly. Billy, once again, it concerns the scrape pictures, geoglyphs, of Nazca in Peru. You explained, it was the 6th of March, 1987, during the 216th contact, that it concerned an enormous religious and astronomical calendar and garden. I explained this to someone, from which, of course, new questions arose, whose answers also interest me. Can you tell me more about the scrape pictures, their purpose and construction, as well as about the Nazca gods and the Nazca people? Translator's note, the following portion was translated by Christian Freiner. Quetzal, 2. I'd like to explain a few things. 3. Each one of the scrape pictures was portrayed by a non-interrupted, continuing line. 4. For their construction, drawing patterns were used which were transferred and enlarged onto the ground, until the desired size was reached. 5. The Nazcans were perfectly mastering the necessary mathematical calculating. 6. With ropes that were attached to standing poles, that were held by people, with revolving straps, an improvised circle was built which served to scrape the spots, that had already been marked, with tools. 7. The light sediment layer under the desert's surface was uncovered, and in this way, the figures and lines were created. 8. The gigantic scrape figures, desert ground that was scraped away, were symbolizing gods that were revered by the Nazcans in those times. 9. At the same time, the scrape pictures were also an astronomical calendar and a huge astronomical garden, because the figures represented portrayals of the gods who, according to the Nazca people's belief, were seen in the star pictures. 10. For the interpretations of the Nazca star pictures, animals and birds known to the people, and also geometric figures were used which were believed to be seen in the star constellations. 11. On the holy god day that was set at that day when day and night were of equal length, the entire people were walking in long marches over the scrape pictures and honoring the gods, and they performed rituals and ceremonies to the honor of their great and powerful gods. 12. In order to make their gods peaceful, lower human beings, like slaves, enemies and unwanted people etc. were sacrificed and killed in such a way that they were bound onto special altars, and a heavy wooden thorn or stone thorn was driven into the forehead and the skull, and a cactus thorn was driven through the lips, to shut up their mouth for all times and to silence them. 13. Those ceremonies were executed by the priests, who were holy men and who led a prosperous life. 14. The priests were also responsible for the performance of the holy rituals and ceremonies on the scrape pictures, that were permitted to walk on not only on the holy god day, but at any other time and, was permitted, to be used for private cultic actions. 15. As a rule, the Nazcans were people with high skulls, which means that their skulls showed an exceptional long skull form, which was not of original origin. 16. This skull form was artificially produced. As long as the skull was still formable, it was restricted and bound with grinded metallic, stony and wooden plates, forcibly leading to a skull of long form and resulting in an oblong deformation. 17. This procedure was even started with newborns when they were 1 week old. 18. Everything was not an ideal of beauty, but a tribute to the gods, to give them obsequious reverence. 19. Only those Nazcans were permitted to have and wear the oblong skull form who were of higher class. That is about 85% of the population. 20. The remaining 15% were lower people who had to perform slave duty and similar tasks, and who were looked upon as social misfits, etc., and whose well-being or non-well-being and, therefore, their life was laying in the hands and will of the higher ones and especially of the priests. Billy, this explanation should be enough. Thank you. Then here's another question regarding the advanced culture of the Mayans and their extinction or downfall, respectively. Can you report about this? I suppose that you have knowledge about the history of the Mayans, don't you agree? Quetzal, 21. I have, in fact, occupied myself with it and know some things about these concerns, at least the things that are known to us in general. 22. The Mayas are Indian people and language families in southern Mesoamerica. 23. I have provided you with information about it before, but obviously you want to know more about it. 24. Here it goes. 25. Maya as a language exists in southern and northeast Mexico, in Guatemala, Honduras and Belize with more than 2 million people who are speaking that language. 26. If spatial cultural criteria are taken into account, there must be differentiated between those people who live in scattered settlings in the woodland of the tropical lowland, and those people in the colonial Spanish-oriented village communities of the cool temperate highlands. 27. The Yucatec belong to the first category and are living in the Mexican states Yucatan, Quintana Roo and Campeche as well as Lacandons and Corti, etc. 28. Caqcuals, Quiche and Tsuttuils are belonging to the second category. 29. Regarding the hierarchy of political officers, it can be said that in the high regions there is a cult brotherhood, while in the lowlands the organizational form is that of groups of relatives. 30. There, first. Ones are pursuing a very intensive clearing through fire, whereby beans, pumpkins and maize are the principal crops that are cultivated. 31. Those who are living in the forests are oriented towards extensive agriculture. 32. The significant advanced culture of the Mayas developed since the year 2321 before Manuel's birth, and it formed the actual traditional Maya religion into the state religion. 33. Today's Maya Indian Catholicism is riddled with elements of their old customary, traditional religion. 34. The Mayas' descendants of today are still venerating the old gods of their ancient religion, which they elevate into a position of Christian saints. 35. Nevertheless, the doings of the distant descendants are still determined by ghost powers. 36. Shamanistic rituals regarding the healing of the sick, the sowing and oracle calendars still belong into the given order. 37. But if we view the time before Columbus, the following can be said. 38. In those times the Maya were the holders of very highly advanced culture whose heyday began about 300 years after Jmanuel's birth and was lasting for about 460 years, before they, because of climatic changes, were befallen by drought catastrophes that wreaked havoc over the land and claimed 14,392,108 lives in only as much as 150 years. 39. 1,550 years after Jmanuel's birth, the Maya culture found its total end through the Spanish conquests, whereby the conquerors committed terrible inhumaneness, murder, crimes of all kinds and cruelties without an end. 40. And all of this was done in the name of the Spanish royal house as well as in the name of God and, therefore, in the name of the Christian religion. 41. Well, at that time there happened a spatial relocation of the cultural heyday from the south to the north, what led to the last end of the classical Maya culture. 42. That actual relocation and the actual reason for the downfall of the Maya culture can be traced back to earlier causes that were not within the power of the Spaniards. 43. Actually, forces of nature were responsible for the final fall, that is gigantic natural catastrophes through droughts, but also through epidemics, famine and wars. 44. The most powerful causes were three drought periods. Back in the year 754 after Jmanuel's birth, the first one began, slowly developed and later, after about 50 years, became the first drought catastrophe that lasted about 10 years. 45. Because of the severity of that drought, famines spread over wide areas, which claimed many deaths. 46. No longer in control because of hunger, children and old people were killed to serve as food, as had also been the case in the land of Egypt, when droughts and famines ruled. 47. There were only about 40 years after the great drought, when the land and the people could recover somewhat, until another heavy drought covered the land and when the same evil became the order of the day again, as had been the case during the first drought. 48. This period of drought did not last as long as the first one, because after a little bit more than 4 years it ended. 49. But also during this drought many human beings died, and again human beings were killed and eaten, mainly children and old persons, as had been the case during the first drought. 50. As the land was recovering very slowly after the first drought and did not become fully usable for the cultivation of food, everything became even worse after the second drought. 51. That part of the soil that was still usable brought forth even less food, and so the people were living in want and had to live frugally during the following years and decades, until a third drought period broke over the land that lasted for another nearly 7 years. 52. And once again, as a last solution for the hungry people, they killed and ate their children and old people. 53. Finally, this last great catastrophe led to the breakdown of the advanced Maya culture and brought its final ruin. Translator's note: this concludes Christian Frehner's translated portion. The following portion was translated by Benjamin Stevens. Billy, thanks, your explanation says more than I expected. And I still have another question regarding CFCs. Concerning this, you once told me that certain gases, which are stored under the bottom of the sea and which rise up, cause even greater damage to the ozone layer than CFCs. Now, I no longer know what gas this was and out of what it arises. Quetzal, 54. It concerns methane gas, which is stored as methane hydrate under the sea. Billy, at that time, you said that often enormous clouds of gas bubbles of this methane gas detach from the seabed, like, for example, in large masses in the Bermuda Triangle. These gas bubbles then rise to the sea's surface, where they form huge whirlpools, through which ships sink into the sea when they run into them, as the ships, due to the numerous gas bubbles in the water, are no longer carried by the water. If the gas clouds then ascend over the sea and fly into airplanes, then the methane gas becomes ignited by the engines or nozzles, whereby tremendous explosions arise and tear the airplanes into the smallest pieces. Is this right as such? Quetzal, 55. That is correct. Billy, I might have to ask about it again later, because since my breakdown, I forget some things again and again. But now, another question that also has reference to a natural phenomenon, namely to lightning. Although most flashes of lightning shoot out into the outer layers of the atmosphere and partly even into the outermost layers and beyond that, as I saw several times, when you took me far beyond the earthly atmospheric layers, about 5% or so still shoot down to the ground and cause all sorts of disaster. And since there are more and more people as a result of overpopulation, more and more people are also hit by lightning, which usually has deadly consequences, with few exceptions. Now, it is always said that lightning would hit the highest structures in each case because these would attract the lightning, so even trees, mountains, and buildings, etc. Also, it is said that a person in the open can protect himself against lightning by lying down on the ground or by putting himself into a squatting position in such a way that he pulls his knees up to his chest. Thus, a person should offer the smallest attack area to the lightning. Does this correspond to the facts, or is this an inane story, And are there actually different types of lightning, and how do these arise? Quetzal, 56. It is not correct, in terms of the fact that only high objects are hit by lightning, as it also isn't correct that a person cannot be struck by lightning if he is lying on the ground or is in a squatting position. 57. It is true, however, that there are different types of lightning. 58. Thus, the following is to be explained. 59. When thunderstorms emerge, these take place in so-called thunderstorm cells, in which differently sized densities of space charge arise. 60. Once this concentration of space charge reaches a field strength that exhibits values of several hundred kV/m, which you can write as follows, as I have noted it to you here, 100 kV/m, on the basis of ice particles or water droplets, then leading discharges or conducting discharges form the leading flashes of lightning, thereby causing a reaction that triggers a discharge of lightning sparks. 61. If the flashes of lightning go from cloud to cloud, then this is called cloud-to-cloud lightning. 62. This creates a balance between positively and negatively charged cloud centers or thunderstorm cells. 63. Then there is the cloud-to-space lightning, which shoots out, under certain circumstances, into space and discharges there. 64. Then, the two types of cloud-to-ground lightning and ground-to-cloud lightning are still to be mentioned. 65. Ground-to-cloud lightning is easily recognizable because it descends from the clouds to the ground, and to be sure, with easily recognizable leading flashes of lightning which have many branches. 66. Leading lightning contains a so-called charge tube, which descends to the ground and is filled with a negative charge of a cloud of the thunderstorm cell. 67. The negative cloud-to-ground lightning is the most frequently occurring lightning, apart from the cloud-to-cloud lightning and cloud-to-space lightning. 68. The positive cloud-to-ground lightning originates from the lower, positively charged area of the flash. 69. Positive cloud-to-ground lightning flashes, which originate from the upper, positively charged center, are relatively rare. 70. Such flashes of lightning occur almost exclusively at the end of a respective active phase of a thunderstorm cell. 71. The positively charged center only builds up when the negatively charged center is nullified. 72. Such a positive discharge results, then, through a single and very powerful lightning flash, which descends to the ground. 73. It is also to be noted that ground-to-cloud lightning flashes with branches shoot up into the clouds, whereby leading flashes of lightning shoot up from the earth, from mountain tops, towers, and other tall buildings, etc., into the clouds. 74. With cloud-to-ground lightning, a cylindrical tube shoots down to the ground from the negatively charged center of the thundercloud, which is filled with the cloud's charge. 75. In addition, the tube varies in its diameter and can exhibit several tens of meters. 76. Moreover, connected to it is a very thin and approximately 1 centimeter thick, highly ionized plasma core. 77. This leading flash of lightning shoots down to the ground in a jerky and zigzagging manner, and indeed, at a speed of about 300 kilometers per second. 78. The jerky pre-shootings of the leading flashes of lightning occur in steps of several 20 meters, whereby the interim times of a step move to others within the range of a microsecond. 79. Once the tip, the head of the leading flash of lightning, has reached a distance of between 10 and several hundred meters, the electric field strength of the objects that are stationary on the ground, such as buildings, towers, and trees, as well as mountain tops, increases in such a way that the electrical stability of the air is exceeded, and then, so-called catching discharges go out of the objects, and the head of the leading flash of lightning shoots toward and meets with these. 80. With this, the point of impact of the lightning on the ground is also determined, namely a mountain top, a tower or tree, some building, an animal or a human, out of which the catching discharge has gone. 81. This also explains that even a human being emits such catching discharges, but with him, the fact still remains that he generates electromagnetic vibrations through his brain, which reach several meters of expansion, which send out catching discharges, and which form very strong attraction points for the head of a leading flash of lightning. 82. Thus, it is also of no use if human beings remain lying down or in squatting positions in open areas when thunderstorms occur, which are associated with lightning. 83. Real protection for human beings only occurs in caves or in enclosed buildings or in completely closed vehicles and aircraft, etc. 84. If the head of a leading flash of lightning and a catching discharge collide, then the catching discharge shoots into the leading lightning tube at about 100,000 km per second and, within a few milliseconds, allows the stored charge of lightning to discharge to the ground or to the object, out of which the catching energy has gone. 85. This, then, is the moment when the actual lightning discharge becomes visible, which lights up very brightly and dazzles the eye. 86. The spark channel created by the leading flash of lightning is heated very strongly, by what means the main flash reaches a temperature of several tens of thousands of degrees Celsius. 87. At the same time, the pressure of the flash rises to about 100 times the normal atmospheric pressure and explodes, through which the crash of thunder arises. 88. Due to the sudden, main discharge of the leading lightning tube, a so-called surge current shoots, within milliseconds, into the object struck by lightning, namely a tree, a building or a tower, a mountain, a ship, airplane, automobile, animal, or person, etc. 89. The surge current of positive ground to cloud lightning has a similar course, but with its discharge from the upper positively charged center in the thundercloud, the surge current usually lasts about 10 times longer than with cloud-to-ground lightning. 90. Positive cloud-to-ground lightning also transports in itself a much greater energy charge than what is the case with the negative surge current. 91. This is also the reason why positive cloud-to-ground lightning is much more dangerous than just negative cloud-to-ground lightning. 92. But that, dear friend, should suffice as an explanation. 93. In addition to this, there would actually be an entire course to explain in this regard. Billy, that's certainly enough, I think. I didn't want to be instructed in such detail. Thank you very much. Translator's note, the following is Figure's authorized and official translation. But now, I would like to ask you about Jeremiah's predictions and data. Did you bring them along? Quetzal, 94. Everything is complete. 95. The biblical handed down data and stories are in truth based on legends, deliberate lies and falsifications, and on a deceitfully produced chronicle that is incorrectly arranged and wildly imagined. 96. This also applies to the dates of the ancient and genuine prophets Jeremiah, Jesaiah, Eliah and Enoch. 97. Converted to the Christian calendar of today, the true dates of these prophets are the following. 98. Name, born on, died on, son of, 99. Jeremiah February 9, 662 BC September 3, 580 BC The High Priest Hilkias, Atanathoth 100. Jesaiah February 7, 772 BC May 5, 690 BC Amots at Sidon 101. Eliah February 5, 891 BC June 4, 780 BC Josias at Gilead, Tisbe 102. Eliah was flown to Srinagar, Kashmir in India by a beam ship on April 7, 842 BC 103. Enoch February 3, 9308 BC January 1, 8942 BC Cretan of the Pledgeron 104. The prophet's times of births were the following, Jeremiah at 1123 AM, Jesaiah at 1044 AM, Eliah at 1102 AM and Enoch at 1101 AM. Billy, thank you. But what happened to Jeremiah's predictions, which in fact are not prophecies? Quetzal, 105. I had to translate them into the German language of today's understanding. They read now as follows. 106. When the prophet of the new time spreads his teaching in the new time, the time of the great transformation has begun. It will start in the second millennium, and lead far into the third millennium after the birth of the prophet Emmanuel. 107. And when the second millennium ends and the third has begun, human beings will be blinded by gold and material values to such an extent that they will be counting talers, silver coins, in all countries everywhere. 108. And even when human beings look up at the stars in the sky at night, they will see only gold, gemstones and dollars. 109. They will build cult places for cults to worship and will pay homage to a non-existent god as well as saints who are human beings canonized by human beings. 110. The places for the cult's worship of a non-existent god will become sites for merchants and money changers. 111. The lenders who lend various acquisitions, temporary dwellings and many inventions for a fee, will become avaricious usurers. 112. The judicial authorities will administer justice unlawfully, and no longer punish the wrongdoers for their evil deeds but reward them by imposing penalties that are insignificant. 113. Thus the huge fire of injustice will smolder and burn, and will lend its helping hand to fornication, whereby it is inevitable that every city and town will be a place of fornication, which is degenerated in the worst form of inhumanity. 114. And also the children and their children will live a life of degeneration in the worst form of inhumanity, and will become a cloud of blazing heat that burns and destroys everything. 115. They will raise the old flags dripping with blood, and spread terror and leave uncountable deaths. 116. The powerful of the world will ruthlessly abuse their power, and allow the killing of innumerable innocent human beings. 117. They will transform the building blocks of life into death-bringing weapons in order to destroy nature, and to kill human beings in vast numbers. 118. When the new time prophet appears, the unreasonableness of human beings will become rampant in such a manner through the procreation of descendants that the earth, the sky, the oceans, the forests, the prairies and the deserts, as well as the mountainous regions will be populated to such an extent that no human being is able to take one step unnoticed. Consequently, quarrels between each and everybody will occur. 119. The human being will assert his power and command over nature and life, and at the same time he will aspire after the creation's power because in every respect he will tear down all boundaries and will ignore them. 120. But everything will not continue forever, for it will turn around in time and work against the human being. 121. Like a drunken ruler, he will suddenly begin to shake and tremble, and will run in fear like a blind horse. 122. He will ride himself like a saddle horse, spurring and whipping himself onwards on a path into chaos and confusion, at which end it is dark, desolate and fatal, and leads irretrievably into a deep abyss. 123. It will be the time when gigantic buildings and towers reaching up high into the sky are being built in all countries of the earth. 124. And human beings will live and work in these towers and buildings. 125. There will also be cities of gigantic proportions where human beings eke out an existence. Thus fertile fields will be left empty. But buildings and towers will be built on these fields because space to house the living will become increasingly in short supply. 126. And except for the individual's own law and that of individual groups, not one true law will exist any longer. 127. Thus many who live in cities will turn into barbarians and terrorize the honest and upright human beings. 128. There will be so many human beings in this new time that there will not be enough bread for everybody, and also water will become increasingly scarce. 129.